Excellent. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the May 19th Select Committee of Environment and Sustainability meeting. We will call the meeting to order. Adoption of the agenda. Moved. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second.
Second. Thank you. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Approval of the minutes of the October 7th, 2020. Are there any errors or omissions in the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes are adopted by consent. We have no new business and no business arising from the minutes. We'll go right down to recommendations from council. The first recommendation from council is from the regular council meeting of April 28th, 2021. The council directs staff to post the draft 2021 Community Climate Adaptation Plan for stakeholder review and public comment till June 11th, 2021. Further, that council instructs staff to refer the draft 2021 Community Climate Adaptation Plan to Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability, and that the May meeting of the Select Committee on Environment be reinstated. We're just looking for feedback, more or less from the committee, on this for staff to be able to have comments, or staff to be able to grab all or take all of our comments and go back to the consultant staff. Hopefully everyone had an opportunity to review the plan and read through it, and we can go from there. Would anyone like to start? Hopefully everyone's read the document. Any comments, questions, anything you'd like to put in there?
Yeah, I have read it sort of briefly. I'm just wondering, in the past, like for instance, with the tree management plan, we sort of had a general discussion about it, and then we went away and provided written comments and did it that way.
Yep.
Is that okay, or do you actually just want to wrap it up today or what?
No, that's completely fine, because staff are taking comments until June 11th, so we still have time for that. It's written comments in the community anyways. I just wanted it to go to the committee, just more or less for that conversation to happen. Yeah, absolutely, if there's written comments that need to be submitted to staff, it's always better to send them in written rather than just kind of having them jot down the notes here.
Right. Okay, good.
Yeah, Robert?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a question. If this plan dated April 2021, is it different any way from the original draft plan, which was online a number of months ago?
Let's refer that. I'll refer the question to staff. Mr. Weir, hopefully he's here. There he is.
Yes, I don't believe it is significantly different.
Significantly.
I just think we've been busy with other activities, and it hasn't come forward as a priority item, but we're trying to get it rolling again.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other comments or questions on? Yeah, Ray, go ahead.
Well, on page 22, under objections and actions, there's nine listed. I just didn't know if those are in order of priority or are they just nine in general? Page 22, objections or objectives. Are they prioritized?
Mr. Weir.
Don't believe so. I think they're just listed.
Okay, thank you.
Any other further comments on that? Yeah, Doug, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have some comments at a sort of a high level looking over the whole plan, and I just want to preface this by saying that I've looked at the list of staff who were involved in creating the plan, and these are people for whom I have the highest respect, so these are not to be taken as criticisms of the work that went into it. I'm very concerned and disappointed with this plan in that the overall impression it gives, I think, is misleading and can lead to an atmosphere of complacency around the issue of climate change. That is, it kind of gives the impression that we can handle, we can adapt to the impacts of climate change here in Qualicum Beach. while that may or may not be true of certain local level impacts, such as sea level rise up to a certain point, say prior to the year 2100, and increased risk of forest fires, Coral Beach is situated in Canada and the world, and the universal consensus now is that we are on a trajectory, an accelerating trajectory, towards a degree of climate change to which adaptation will be impossible. That, you know, it was a landmark decision by the Supreme Court of Canada recently, and they said, and I'll read you their words, they said, the Supreme Court concluded that climate change poses an existential threat to human life in Canada and around the world. So it's no longer considered alarmist or an overstatement to say that we are quite possibly facing the collapse of global civilization and mass die-off of the human species if we do not rapidly move to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions. That is no longer considered an extreme position. You know, the Supreme Court of Canada, who are people who are pretty fussy about the evidence they look at before they come to a conclusion, have concluded exactly that. So I think we need the statement right up front in this plan that makes it very clear that, you know, the words of Greta Thunberg is, I want you to panic. I want you to act like your house is on fire, because it is. So that's the atmosphere, that's the preface that I would like to see added to this plan, one that situates the overall question of adaptation in the context of impending catastrophe if we don't act quickly. Now, it is true that there are some things we can do to adapt in the medium term, and we should not refrain from doing those, certainly, and I'm happy to comment on those too, but that was the overall sort of preface that I'd like to see injected into this document. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, David, go ahead.
Yeah, I have to agree with Doug. I think what the plan does lack is this sense of urgency, and to use Doug's word, complacent. I think there are probably a number of things that I can't sort of delineate them at this point, but I think there are a number of items that we sort of have to move on very quickly and not just wait for the normal process of strategic planning. And in other words, we don't have the years down the road. We don't have the luxury of that timeline.
Yeah. Okay. So I know staff are taking, with the minutes, they'll be taking the comments that are being said. Again, Greg brought up the great point of being able to send in your written comments. So anything that any committee member does have to send them into staff for written comments or written submission, and obviously that will all be taken into feedback. Are there any other comments or questions or concerns on the draft plan?
Yeah, I would just say I generally agree with the previous two speakers there about a bit of overall context at the start would be good. That aside, I think the individual points or objectives that are, I guess they're called actions that are raised are probably good ones, and looks like the correct things have been identified at that level.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to agree with them too. It just needs to be more urgent.
Okay. All right. So again, we've got until June 11th for comments on this. We didn't have any objective for the committee to meet on this one. Again, I just wanted it to be a discussion committee at an actual meeting. Yeah, Ray, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say I agree too, so that our whole committee is unanimous in agreeing to that point.
Okay. Excellent. I've written it down many times, and I'm sure staff have as well. So moving on from there, there was the last thing from the March 17th council meeting, and the council referred the proposals from Guy and Associates Urban Forestry and Agricultural, the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability, with a request that they identify recommendations for requested changes to the plan. So did everyone have a chance to also read through that?
Got it. I did, for sure.
All right. So are there any recommendations for staff through the plan? Any changes or errors that you'd like to see in that plan?
Okay, well, there was at the end of the agenda package, there was what's called proposal of the draft tree management plan, and it went through all the previous recommendations, and it implied that some of them were going to be incorporated there. It said revised plan, and others it said that, you know, more discussion needed. So were we intending to sort of go through those individually, or?
Yeah, we can. Again, do you have a page number, and then we can all flip to that?
Okay, I think it was page 68 of the agenda package. You're right; it was the very last thing there after the climate change adoption stuff.
Okay, so Greg, where were you saying that we can go through the points there?
Okay, well, just to clarify in my mind exactly what's going on here. The last draft of this tree and vegetation management plan, I think that I received was, I believe, March 23rd, 2020. Does that sound about right? Anyways, then we, you know, made comments on it. And then I think you, maybe staff went back to the consultant, and it looks like the consultant has reviewed the comments, and then I take it either the consultant or staff has produced this 5 or 6 page summary that went from page 68 to 74 of the agenda package.
Mm.
And in here it implies that maybe some things have already been revised in the plan, and I says, revised plans, the new item or so there, which I haven't seen. And then the others, it, you know, it says revised plan, and that's fine. I agree with all those things. And then further along, if you go to about starting on page 72, there's a whole bunch listed there that says discussion needed. So, I guess my read on this thing is that everything from page 68 to 71, it looks like the consultant or staff or whoever have kind of agreed on what to do already. But from page 72 to 74, it looks like there's a few things there that, you know, they're saying discussion needed. So I just want to clarify the intent of exactly what we're.
Sure. Mr. Weir, maybe you have the answer to that. So it is on page 72. It does talk about all the action for discussion needed. Is that asking for the committee? Like, what was Guy and Associates looking for on this, or was that staff that added that in there?
I think most of this discussion has been had by Mr. Sales with the consultant. I'm not
right.
Intimately familiar with these points.
Okay.
You know, we can review it at a staff level, but I mean, if there are points here that the committee wants to discuss and wants to have input on, I would encourage the committee to, like, give us more direction if there's anything you feel passionate about or you want to see headed in a different direction or want to influence that discussion as, you know, as it happens, or whether you want the discussion to be entirely from the committee.
Okay. So I mean, if the committee has certain points from page 72 onwards, that there's a point that you want to have a discussion on, we can start at the top and we can start going through that. And if anyone has, Greg, if you have certain points on any of the points you have, we can start with you and we can go through there.
Okay. Just a general comment first. You know, while there's been a lot of good work go into this thing, sometimes I feel like I'm playing a bit of a whack-a-mole game here, in that there's about 4 or 5 different components to it. There's, you know, the guiding principles, future landscape condition, the program goals and objectives, and then you have the draft private property tree conservation policy and the action plans and a bylaw. And I'm sort of feeling, we're making a recommendation to get something implemented in one part of it, and then there's still something in one of the other parts that is not in agreement with what we put in there. So I'd really like somebody to go through the whole thing and just kind of check for consistency after any changes have been made to parts of it. Maybe that's obvious, but anyway, so that was kind of my own first general comment.
Okay.
In terms of the specific stuff, I think the one thing, this is Doug, I think, has articulated this quite well previously, but throughout all the components of the plan and policy and bylaw and all that stuff, there really needs to be a clear pathway for getting towards a desired future condition of appropriate trees in appropriate parts of the town. And we've mentioned that and tried to put it into some places where they still feel it's maybe not consistent all the way through. And same with the fire stuff. There's been some good recommendations, looking at fire hazard from both a landscape level and at an individual fire, sort of property owner, fire smart kind of level. And when I look at it, there's still places in there where it's not clear that that pathway is there for an individual to remove trees in order to fireproof his home. So, that's kind of another one. I got maybe a couple more here, but it's probably time to let somebody else.
Yeah, I don't have any other comments. I'm sure everyone knows where we are on page 72, where it's got, goes into page 73, and there's about 14 different items there that I'll talk about just discussion later. Does anyone have any comments on those items there? Yeah, Lena, go ahead.
For absence of number 12 about the rural lands, what exactly, because it says 1 tree per acre on a rural property seems quite restrictive. Perhaps 3 to 5. What exactly are they wanting? Like, is it 3 to 5 trees that be? Yeah. What exactly is it specifying there?
Okay, that was, if you don't mind me commenting on that, that was my comment originally. And it was actually phrased as more of a sort of a question to staff than anything else. In that, the context of it was there was a bunch of exemptions, if it was in the ALR and whatnot, then you could, then you weren't bound by it and whatnot. I think my question was something along the lines of, without spending a lot of time looking at the zoning maps, I really wasn't sure if there were many or any rural properties that weren't in the ALR. And, people may have other reasons for wanting to remove some of the trees, and I felt one per year maybe pretty restrictive on a large property, but this may be a non-issue if there isn't, if there just isn't any land in that category anyways. I think it was more something for staff to look at.
Does that answer your question, Lena?
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone else have any comments on the 14 discussion points there? Doug, go ahead.
Thank you. Just trying to navigate back to the document here. Okay, so just for a little bit of background, not everybody has been involved with this right from the start. It was quite a few years ago that this committee was originally asked to look at the idea of a tree cutting bylaw for Tonopah Beach. And several of us in the committee said, well, let's slow down and not just go that route just yet. Let's think more broadly about what's needed in this town as far as what we call the tree and vegetation management policy or plan, a strategy, I think we called it. So It's still not totally clear to me whether the town is contemplating this tree cutting bylaw along the sort of similar lines to what many municipalities have, in which a landowner will have to get a permit if they want to cut down a tree on their lot. Now, I argued that that would not necessarily be a priority for the town of Qualicum Beach, because my observation is that where we're losing tree cover is not because of property owners cutting down the trees on their land in the ordinary course of maintaining their gardens or landscape features. It's more a question of when lands are redeveloped. The standard procedure now is to remove all vegetation from the property and then start from scratch after it's been built on with new landscaping. And further, the observation was that in many cases, the lot plan that comes back after redevelopment precludes ever developing the level of canopy cover that's identified as desirable for an urban setting of, you know, something in the range of 20, 25, or even 30% forest tree canopy cover within the town. We're seeing lots of developments where that simply won't be possible. So I argued, well, it isn't that we need a tree cutting bylaw that stops my neighbor from cutting down a tree. It's that we need a strategy for how the town is developed when land is redeveloped. And I'm just not seeing clearly whether that is even included. I'm seeing this point 10, establish minimum canopy cover targets for new residential development. And it says discussion needed and TBD. So I'm not sure if we're on a direction to have that or not. I mean, I guess I would feel pretty distressed if the outcome of this was, okay, we don't really need a tree cutting bylaw, and there's these other things that have been suggested, and they'll happen sometime in the indefinite future, but they're not considered priorities either. If I'm making myself clear, I would like to see some clarity that these other things that were identified as the main reasons that we're losing tree cover in Qualicum Beach and the main things we could do about it. And there's three of them. One is the pattern when land is redeveloped through subdivision or houses being demolished and new houses being built. Two is we could use a much better street tree program so that the network of public lands that run throughout the town would be a place that we could have more trees, but also more appropriate trees, very heavy to Douglas fir and, to a lesser extent, western red cedar and Van fir, which are not really within the definition of right tree, right place for the most part. And it would be nice to have a tree cutting strategy, or a tree management strategy, a street tree strategy for the public lands. And then the third thing, of course, is the larger blocks of forest that are still within the town limits that still retain the opportunity to retain actual areas of forest and strategies for retaining those as much as possible. So those are the three things I'd really like to see coming out of this. And I'm not really seeing any wording in this that makes it clear that any of those are going to happen in a defined timeline or as a priority. So that's what I'd like to see, if that's clear.
Yeah, Mr. Weir, my understanding with the tree and vegetation management plan was to help with new and future development in town and property tree removal. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that was one of the main reasons for having this plan in place, was to help us with new development and redevelopment.
That's correct, and I think that's sort of getting to some of the points, is that you have to look beyond just not allowing your neighbor to cut a tree. Like, we have to look at, you know, what are the initiatives we're trying to do? We're trying to densify. We're trying to get a walkable, bikeable community. We are going to see some redevelopment of the housing stock. You know, that what's that going to require? How do we prepare or do something different than that? You know, like we talked about our Green Laneways initiative, various things. I think it was hoped when we headed into this that we rather than having black and white prescriptions of about absolutely what you can and cannot do, is that it did guide us towards a more innovative solution for the more general picture. I totally agree that you know, like reimagining our street tree planting and management is an excellent idea, and it should be carried upon. It has had some difficult political hurdles in that we've also had some, to be careful about it, some of council not really being favoring street trees and wanting to take every second one out. Now, that is in the downtown core where it's affecting sidewalks, and we're talking about, you know, more areas outside of that. So certainly, I mean, we've sort of, like, stumbled upon ourselves in heading in this direction, but I think we are trying to get a little bit creative with what we do with the public lands. And I think our Green Laneways initiative was a perfect one where, you know, we can still develop the walkable network in our laneways and some accessibility for more densification, but there are also the opportunities for some trees and rain gardens and other manners to try and sort of mimic some of the natural environment with sort of built infrastructure. So I don't know if that answers your question completely, but the document's not perfect certainly, but I think it was an attempt. There was an attempt to think about some of the town's problems and be able to accommodate them. I mean, certainly everybody's heard me go on and on about, you know, the reason that I wanted to see it called a vegetation management plan is because it needs to have a solution that's acceptable for our over steep and slopes on the waterfronts and in the creek ravines. And that might necessarily involve removal of inappropriate species that people manage poorly, and replacement with something that will provide a continuous evergreen canopy and you know, contribute to the stabilization of slopes. So, I mean, it had big initiatives, but like as you get down to the details, it's harder and harder to deliver on everything, I guess.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Weir. So that kind of clears some of that up for you, Doug, on what the idea behind the vegetation management plan is.
Well, I was clear on that already because I was part of those discussions with the committee and Bob Weir was there too. So we're on the same page about that 100%. My concern was more, are we going to see these things happening coming out of the work that the consultant is going to do? That's where I was more concerned. It seemed a little, it didn't seem very focused on products that were going to get us there. So I just want to emphasize that's what I'm hoping this leads to.
Okay. Mr. Weir, you had a comment?
Just a comment that, these documents partially are guidance also for councils and future councils. And if you want to see action taken on any of these initiatives, if they become a part of a council's, strategic plan or priorities, then you will start to see them implemented and prioritized and funded. If we look at it and say, you know what, like outside of the downtown core where we've got problems with sidewalks, we do want to see, you know, an implementation of a street tree strategy and management plan. What would that look like? And let's get going on it. And our objective is to get to these kinds of species with this kind of cover within such amount of time. Without really putting it all back on you, Councillor Filner, like I think you'd agree that like if you want to get stuff done, you get it on council's strategic plan.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Absolutely. That's not. Yeah. and I know council had the discussion. I don't know. I don't remember where we went to that, but we did have a discussion of potentially whether we're looking at getting into the strategic plan. But again, I'm sure once the plan is adopted by council, I'm sure that is a conversation too. Certainly have with council. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I have to disagree with Doug a little bit. I think the whole matter of trees on private land is some concern. I've noticed in the last 6 months in town here, probably more trees cut, mature trees cut on private property than I've ever seen in the last sort of 16, 17 years that I've lived in Qualicum. So it seems to be, a process which is accelerating. And I think there needs to be not necessarily a terribly authoritarian approach to it, but there needs to be some sort of plan to I think govern that in the community. Otherwise, our attempt to maintain canopy, we're going to be doing it with one hand, but we're allowing it to be reduced on the other hand.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on the recommendations from page 2 to 73? Just to clarify with staff, Mr. Weir, is the plan still with the consultants or is it back to staff now?
I believe it's with the consultant, but again, I will check with Mr. Sales. I know the consultant moves kind of at a geologic scale pace.
Right. Yeah, Doug, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I did have a conversation with the sales about this because I wanted to get a bit more clarification as to what we're being asked to do. And I brought up the points to him that I just brought up here. And I think it, to summarize briefly, he kind of counseled me to be patient. He said these things are not all going to happen at once. But I think the point that was made recently about getting these as action items into the plan, you know, and I will say, response to what David just said, I'm not saying I'm opposed to there being a tree cutting bylaw. I was just saying that my analysis is that that's not the main source of loss of tree canopy that we're having, is individual landowners cutting trees on their property. It certainly happens, but trees are also growing all the time too. In my neighborhood, I look out my window and I can barely see any houses for all the trees I see, and this is an older established neighborhood. So I would say that on average, the trend is for there to be more trees in older neighborhoods that are not subject to redevelopment. But then I can look out the window in the other direction where the neighborhood is being redeveloped and I see no trees whatsoever on newly subdivided and developed lots. But to go back to that other point, what is the process then if we want to see action items like a street tree program, a strategy for the larger blocks of forest within town limits, and a set of guidelines or even a bylaw about tree canopy cover post-development, if we want to see those kinds of things get onto council's agenda, how do we make sure that they make it into this next draft of the plan? That's my question.
Well, I mean, as a committee, the only thing the committee can do is to make a motion and send that to council, asking for those types of things to be added into the plan. Obviously, I can take them as recommendations and I can take them as notes, and then when I go back to council, I have them as my notes. But it's usually not nearly as strong as when it comes from the committee as a committee recommendation, because then it gets uploaded onto the council agenda. From there, I mean, it is obviously a fantastic idea to have the entire vegetation management plan put onto council's strategic plan. Obviously, that can't happen until council has adopted the plan, but it's still in draft form. So once it's adopted by council, then it's a lot easier to then add into our strategic plan, saying this is one of our strategic goals or one of council's strategic goals. So that's the key part there. But as for Doug, the things that you brought up to get them on council's radar and have them added into this type of plan is to have an official recommendation from the state council. Does that clarify your?
Yeah, thank you. So I mean, it's a little bit of work to get the committee to put all our heads together and agree what, if we can, as to what factors we would, or the things we would like to see in the tree and vegetation management plan, even if they're not things that are happening today, things that are on the long-term strategic direction for the future. But one thing I guess I could do is to simply reinforce, you know, could we just provide comments to a staff person that then the staff person will provide to the consultant, and the consultant will see that they're in there, or how would you like to proceed on that? I mean, because I have that list of three things I just mentioned, but I don't, you know, there's other members of the committee who may have other ideas or additional things they'd like to really see in there, so.
Yeah, I mean, without Mr. Sales being here, I don't know what, if the, you know, if the consultant has it and they're finalizing whatever comments that they've been doing already, or whether their consultant is still taking new and further comments from the town. Mr. Weir, are you able to answer that, whether the consultant is still taking comments, or if it's, or?
I mean, I think they always will take comments. I'm sort of listening to Doug, and I'm thinking also about, you know, how this combines with, you know, the community climate adaptation plan. And it could be that the committee, you know, makes a recommendation back to council that in, you know, when they do adopt this plan, that, you know, part of the thrust and initiatives that the committee hopes to see council take out of this are these kinds of recommendations that will lead to definite action on, you know, elements that, you know, need to be embraced for the community climate adaptation plan to be realistic and acceptable and, you know, defendable. So, you know, maybe a bit of a combination of the two. I mean, council still has to adopt it, but, you know, you've got to get to some point where it is meaning something, and it is going to lead to something, and it does guide a future strategic plan or initiative of council. So I don't think there's anything wrong with recommendations coming back with sort of specifically, you know, the things that would almost be found in an executive summary that would, like, guide the use of the document or guide its interpretation by council. Just, I mean, that's just, I'm sort of rambling thoughts.
Okay, so again, I think that's the right stage to go. If there is a you know, a recommendation from the committee to council to go along that avenue, I think that, Doug, that might cover all your avenues, or all of your ideas, as well as hopefully the other ideas of other committee members. So if someone wants to make a motion to that effect, then it will for sure end up going to council. I don't really want to, as the chair and as a member of council, I don't really want to be the one that sends the motion, because then I've also then got to sit at the council table and do that. So it puts me in a weird position, but if a committee member is willing to make a motion to that effect, and we can go from there.
I can make a motion to it.
Okay, we just need to know what we're recommending to council, just with the motion. Mr. Weir kind of rambled on there. We can say we'll make a motion to that effect and staff can kind of grab the wording from that, but I prefer to try to have some type of concrete wording in there, unless, Bernadette, unless you managed to catch what Mr. Weir was saying. Yeah.
The context was that you wanted to see definitive actions around street trees, definitive actions around canopy coverage, and specific actions around development, new development, and tree management, particularly with that. So that was, I stopped the general gist.
Yeah, so if we, I'll offer some wording here. So if the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability recommends to council that council take the definitive action towards street tree canopy, whatever bullets we have under this, we can start with that. And we can have, then we can tie it into the climate adaptation plan. Everyone was talking about the sense of urgency that we wanted with that, so we can also tie that into that as well. So let's, Mr. Weir.
I'm just going back to the point that was made about like a clear pathway to getting a future condition. I thought that might be a good soundbite to try and frame some of this stuff. Clear pathway to future condition. I think I, that really struck me as an appropriate one, Seth. I think we could maybe wrap some of our hopes around something like that.
Okay.
I'm just rambling notes here for emotions. Doug, go ahead.
The phrase that Greg used was clear pathway to desired future condition. Just throw that word desired in there. Just a question. When we did our reviews of the original draft of the Stream of Education Management Plan, several of us wrote fairly lengthy comments on it, but we never came back as a committee to look at them and discuss them as a committee. We just simply submitted them. And I'm just wondering, you know, I know that Greg put a fair bit of work into his and I put a lot of work into mine, but we never reconvened to talk about those. So did others in the committee see what everybody else did? Did everybody see mine or Greg's?
I saw yours and I saw Ray's, I believe.
Yeah, I believe staff did distribute the comments amongst the committee.
Okay, right. So, I mean, I think we were largely in agreement. I mean, certainly picked up on different highlights of what we thought needed to happen. So, clear pathway to a desired future condition of urban forest in the town of Qualicum Beach, which would include a street tree policy on public lands based on the principle of right tree, right place, a strategy to ensure adequate tree and vegetation cover on lands that are redeveloped, and a strategy to retain larger blocks of existing forests within the town of Qualicum Beach. Are those, you know, I want to be sensitive to what everybody else thinks is important here, but those are the kind of things that I thought we were kind of leaning towards.
I think that's, for the gist of the motion, I think that's great. I think it does encompass all the comments that were made. So, Lena, if you're still comfortable with moving the motion. Excellent. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second.
Second, excellent. Any further discussion on the motion?
Does this wording restrict how council is going to proceed from here, or is it just a general guidance? Whereas, I mean, I'm still concerned about the monitoring of tree cutting on private land. Whether that could be an outcome of this submission to council.
Yeah, no, it's more or less of a just general direction. It's not gonna hold the wording to what. When obviously, like, my job as a council member, when it comes to council, I've got this discussion and the background to go with it. So it's not just gonna be this is what it is. I've got the background to go with it.
Fair enough.
All right. Any further comments on that? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Any other further comments on our tree vegetation management plan? Okay. Going from there, that does conclude the agenda that we have set for today. For our next meeting, looks like we've got September 1st, 2021, and set for 3 p.m. So we will see everybody there. And motion to adjourn.
Boom,
seconded. Thank you. We are adjourned.